And good afternoon, and welcome to Angel Answers with Amy Toy. I have a very special guest today, Karen Noe. She is the author of Hay House book, Through the Eyes of Another, A Medium's Guide to Creating Heaven on Earth by Encountering Your Life Review Now. So we're going to bring her in just a moment, and she's going to, it's a very good book, by the way, if anyone wants to know about closure and everything else with loved ones here now and on the other side. So a couple of announcements. For the rest of the month, I'm taking off. We have a live show starting January 7th. I have a couple of authors and guests for next for January, so you won't hear or see from me. I'll just have repeats, so if you miss some shows over the summer, Doug will be graciously playing that. A few announcements, like I said, we have a wonderful guest, and other than that, you can find me on angelanswers11.com. I will still be doing readings through the month of December. It's just that we're going to take some time off for the holidays. So welcome, and I'll introduce Karen Noe. Hi, Karen. How are you doing this afternoon? Thank you for coming on.
Hey, how are you? I'm great. Thank you.
Yes, this is a very good book. I've got some questions for you today about the book. It's this is your second book, right? You have another one before
yes.
this? What was the
mm-hmm.
first one? Because I read an excerpt. I read the back of your book with all the mediumship experiences, because I'm a mm-hmm. Psychic medium myself, so I just wanted to see. That was a really cool book. What's the first one you wrote, though? I'm going to get that one.
Okay.
The
first one is called The Rainbow Follows the Storm, and Ooh. How to Connect with Angels and Deceased Loved Ones. That's what that one's basically about. I'm actually writing my third book, the second book with Hay House. I have the contract and everything, so excited about that, too.
Awesome. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, this one was really good, Through the Eyes of Another. Yes, and I've had two near-death experiences, so I wanted to kind of get
your... Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, it was a really good book for me. Yeah, it was a really good book for me to kind of go in and just like, oh, how does she, how do we do a life review now? that was interesting.
Yeah.
When I saw the title, that's... So, Karen...
it's funny, I have a radio show as well, and my last show was on near-death experiences. I wish I would have known that. I would have loved to, maybe the next time.
That's
fine. On my show? Would you do...
Yes, sure, sure. I'm actually writing a book myself. I'm doing my memoir, so that should be out probably by June 1st is my target. So, yeah, that should be coming out soon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. So, this book, as I said, was awesome. So, can you tell the listeners how you began receiving messages from angels and deceased loved ones? How did we all begin this work? It's interesting to kind of get that background, that backstory.
Yes.
How did you get yours?
Well, I truly believe we all can do it, but it happened to me in an unusual way. When I was younger, I would have dreams that would come true before they happened, precognitive dreams, and I'd feel
mm-hmm.
energy around me. But then and my father used to take me to the racetrack. I
had
winning horses for him, things like that, My mother didn't like that at all. She said he used me. But in any case, 15 years ago, I was going through a rough time in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat at the edge of my bed, and I literally yelled at God. And I said, am I going to be okay? Give me a sign. Let me know. And literally, when I saw that, I saw a light coming towards me. And my first response was, this can't possibly be of God. I don't know. I didn't think I was worthy, whatever. And I kept saying, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said that, the more it came towards me and eventually came inside of me, enveloped my whole being. And at that time, I heard an audible voice that said, Lucha Lucina, Bella Lucha Lucina. And for the listeners who are Italian, it means light, little light, beautiful little light.
Mm-hmm.
I've since learned it was St. Francis of Assisi,
mm-hmm.
along with another group of ascended masters, just trying to talk about peace and love and all of that, and they were trying to connect with me. So since then, I started connecting with angels and deceased loved ones, and at first I didn't want to do it. I didn't want people to think I was not in my right mind, But the more I gave them messages, the more meaningful, they were very meaningful for each person that I gave them to. It was deceased loved ones would come through with their names and details, things that only they would know. Finally, I gave in and I said, okay, I'll do this, And that's
mm-hmm.
basically how it all started.
Wow, that is so cool. I think some of us who have been in, who do mediumship or do the psychic readings or whatever we do, we've had a profound experience like that. I can relate to that. I've had a couple of them in my lifetime,
Could I ask you about your near-death experience, or you don't want to go there today, but I would love to.
Okay. Well, we're talking about life review. talking about life review, you know, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show, yeah. because I don't want people to have two of them like they did me to get my attention, to get my gifts back
yeah.
open, okay? That was like, I was hot, I was very stubborn. My second one was my most profound one than my first one.
Yeah.
My first one mm-hmm. was kind of like in and out of, you know, the white light, and it was like I was in and out. But the second one was where I had a car accident. I had a medication that interacted really bad with me, and thank God I did not hit anybody or did anything like that. I was driving a truck, hit a concrete abutment that stopped the vehicle, literally. And they showed me when after I came back, and I knew I had a second near-death experience. I kept seeing white light. And my second one was mostly about, you know, I was surrounded by angels in my second one, and I had a near, you know, I had the life review, and my life review was mostly, I remember, profound love. I mean, I don't know, you know, you've heard, you know, people when they come back from the other side about the profound love they feel, you know, and that's
Absolutely.
Me too. I felt so much love, and I get very emotional because if I'm feeling really down or really, you know, feeling very low in my life, I get, you know, I go back to that time where I feel that love. And my guides kind of like, you know, infuse me with love or something to just show me, hey, you're okay, you know. But I had a life review, you know, it was like, you know, your purpose, you know, they did not want me there, first of all. They're like, you're meant to help other people. You're a writer, you're this, you're that. You need to go back on the path. So, and I saw my life, and they showed me in my life review that I was not being treated the way I should have been treated. I was allowing others to be like a doormat, you know, allowing me to be treated like a doormat.
Oh my gosh.
So that's what happened.
Yes.
My gifts reopened back up after that. I was, because when I was a kid, so anyway, they opened me back up. So, and I came back, and I was a changed person. It was like the old Amy that died. She died. I don't know what happened. It was like a different person. I became a different person after that.
Do you think you're walking? Here, I'm interviewing you now. It's so interesting when I hear that, you know, and so I've changed. So it could you could be a walk-in.
Yeah, that's what I've been, some people have said yes. Some of my friends who, you know, have read me say yes, some say no. Mm-hmm. I had felt very differently. A different person emerged from that that accident in 2000. It was September 17th, 2000. To be exact. So, yeah, I feel I was. Maybe I was. I don't know. I just felt different. Like, I stood up for myself. I was assertive. It was just my gifts opened up. Everything just changed about me. And perhaps
That's
I was,
wonderful.
But I still remember the past. So that, you know, my childhood and everything. But it's a different experience. It really
is. It was different.
So. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
We have
so
to connect after the show. I would love to have you.
Okay,
know.
Sure.
I love it.
Yes, you know, life is so great. But your book was so interesting. You know, why do you know, getting back to your book, why do so many of the deceased who communicate with you express their quote unquote regrets? Why do you think that is?
Oh, yeah, you know what happens, as you know, you just told me you had the life reviews. You go through a life review after you leave your body. You're able to see how you have affected each person through their eyes. So in other words, whatever you did or didn't do to another person, you feel it as if it's your own. And a lot of times, they feel, you know, they needed to forgive someone. They should have spent more time with the other person. You know, little regrets here and there. And they just felt they should have done it differently. So when they come, you know, when they come through, they say, I should have done this, I should have done that, you know, should have spent more time, and whatever it is. So I said, why do we have to wait till we die to go through our life review? Why don't we try to do it here and now and create peace in our lives? And that includes peace with ourselves. As you said, through your life review, you saw how you let other people treat you in not the best way, so you learned how to be a stronger person for yourself. And that's another thing people come through, the same type of thing, that they should have been better to themselves. They see how they treated themselves. So, I just figured we shouldn't have to wait for the death experience to create the peace in our lives that we desperately need, you know, things like that.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, I had two near-death experiences. The second one was the most profound of my life. And, you know, I tell my clients, kind of do what you want to do in this lifetime. Don't, you know, let them, you know, I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I was hard-headed. you go through hard-headedness and stubbornness. But your book was, you know, when we go through a life review, I mean, what do you think, what's some other ways that we may go through a life review, you know, in this lifetime? What's another way? Well, I'm sorry.
No, that's good. What I think we could do is try to see, as I said before, we're able to see through the other person's eyes after we die. So what I tell people to do is try to see how you're affecting the other person as you're interacting with the person each time. Like, that, don't be quick to judge, you know, instead of getting angry, try to see where the other person's coming from. You know, try to see, as an empath, as you must be one as well, don't you just feel that anyway, how you're affecting another person? But not everybody can do that. So it's almost like learning again and how your relationships are. Try to see how you are affecting the other person, basically.
Yeah.
Not always easy, but...
No, it's not. It's like you don't have the gift of being an empath, you know, even though a lot of my clients call me like, you're very empathic, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't realize, okay, maybe, you know, you're jumping to conclusions here. And I think that's even hard for us who, you know, maybe have had a couple near-death experiences. You know, we have to kind of learn, you know, to go through things again. And I feel like your book really put in perspective that, you know, and you show people how to make amends in their life now, so that how can we do that? How can we make amends with some people? Maybe we've had a contentious relationship with a relative, let's say. How can we make amends with them now in this lifetime instead of crying at their, you know, funeral or something? I should have said this. I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah. Well, I always say it's not too late ever, you know, right now, right here and now, to try to forgive the other person. It's not the snake bite that kills us. It's the venom that's left behind.
Right, good. Oh,
and
I like that.
So if you want, right, you want to forgive for you as well as the other person, because it only harms you. A good way of doing that, and I actually conducted an experiment at my center. I have a metaphysical center in Ramsey, New Jersey, and we met every month, and we wrote letters to our loved ones, and there were different types of letters, and one of the letters we're talking about right here is the forgiveness letter. And we sat down and we wrote, try to see through their eyes, the other person who you are trying to forgive, how we had affected them. Very difficult. They sat there, they couldn't figure it out. And finally, when they were able to see their part in what had happened, were they able to actually heal? You know, so when they wrote that letter, they were, you know, they could have mailed it or just not even mailed it, just so that they know them, they knew themselves, you know, what really happened, and they were healed on so many levels. There was one person in the group, her name is Kathy. She didn't go into therapy for years, and there was some things going on in her family, and she needed to forgive, but, you know, she really didn't sit down and think how she was affecting the other people. Make a long story short, her therapist had told her that the letters did in 1 month what years of therapy couldn't even come close to. So it just shows you the healing power, you know, forgiving someone else and trying to see their point of view. You know what? You might not even see the other person's point of view. Sometimes people are just so abused and they just can't figure out, you know, what they did to make that happen. And in that case, just try to see the other person that they didn't know any better. And why did they act that way? Maybe they had a parent who abused them or something like that. There's a reason. People just aren't crazy like that. You know what I mean? They just people don't want to hurt other people. It's not within us. We have God within us.
Yes, we do. There's the, you know, seeing the innocence within that other person, which I think is hard for, you know, when you have your own, even especially if you had your own emotional stuff, that you can't see the other person's point of view. Just try to see the innocence within them, and that's hard, you know, because you're kind of like, okay, this person did that to me, you know, maybe they, I don't know, it locked you in a closet or something, you know, when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they're the older sibling or something. You know, so, you know, you just don't know why. Maybe they have their own jealousies. So.
And it doesn't make it right, too. I always tell, you know, the people that were going through this experiment and even my clients, it doesn't mean that they're right. As a matter of fact, it's very wrong for them to have done that to us. But if we could see the bigger perspective of why, it'll heal us. It really will. You know, people just don't do that. Something's going on with them, you know?
Yeah.
So if we're able to forgive them, as I said before, then we could heal ourselves as well. But the letter is a good way of doing that. And that's, you know, if you want to forgive someone else or if you want them to forgive you, too, that's a big one. When people come through, people who've died, they also, you know, we need to forgive them, or they want to forgive us as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned in your book, and when people cross over, isn't it like their work, if someone you lost, like a spouse, let's say, and you had like an abusive relationship, let's say your husband passed away, aren't they working mm-hmm. through their stuff on the other side as we're working on our stuff on this side?
Absolutely. But they could see it in a bigger perspective. They could see the bigger picture, you know,
mm-hmm.
whereas we can't see the whole focus. We're usually self-centered, focused on ourselves, not really seeing how we're affecting other people or ourselves. As you said
mm-hmm.
before, you couldn't see
mm-hmm.
how you were doing things to your own self. You really don't
yeah,
see that.
You don't see that. And you're kind of like when you have, you know, I've had people come to me, you know, in a mediumship reading, and I have actually had people that, one father abused his daughters. There was three daughters I was reading. I was doing a party. And he came through, and he was apologizing, and one did not want to hear from him. And the other two did, but the one did not. I remember that experience. It was like he wanted forgiveness. He wanted forgiveness for doing that to his daughters. And she's like, I don't want nothing to do with him. Tell him to go away. And I had to tell him to go away, and that's very difficult.
Because
you're trying to work, you know, you're trying to help the client, you know, they're trying to work through their stuff on the other side. And I thought that was good, and you mentioned that in your later section. I thought that was interesting. I'm like, yeah, I never thought of it that way. So, like I said, the book helped me, too, open my eyes, and I've been doing this for a long time, too.
Yeah. Oh, good.
You know.
No, but
yeah,
I
so
always,
it's really good.
My clients, yeah, the clients sometimes say, I don't want to hear from them. You know, they did
mm-hmm.
this to me, and I said, okay, that's okay. But you do know you'll be healed if you forgive as well. And then I explain about the venom, you know, things like that, the snake bite and the venom and all of that. And they say, okay. I said, do it for you. Don't do it for
mm-hmm.
them. Do it for you.
Yes.
And then sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, it depends on where they are, because forgiveness is really for ourselves. It's a gift to ourselves.
That's
it's not for the other. When we forgive, we heal a big part of ourselves. There's that gaping open wound. You know, and that's why I think
mm-hmm.
writing these letters are really good, you know, and, you know, just getting that started, that healing process started, you know.
Yes.
What are some of the different types of letters that we can write, and what are some of the guidelines on how to write them?
Okay, well, the first one I would say, the most important is the gratitude letter. The gratitude letter, too often I hear from those who crossed over, as well as the living loved ones who come to the office, they say they should have told their loved one how much they appreciated them more. They should have told them how much they loved them and things like that. And then it was too late. And the gratitude letter actually is the most fun to write, the easiest one to write. You know, you could say, how did he or she make a difference in your life? You know, some of the things that you love or admire about them, why you're thankful that they're in your life, what's the greatest qualities. You could go on and on. You know, how has he or she grown for the better? Why are you proud of him or her? And you just write it all down. And it's amazing, you know, how much that has. If you do mail the letter to the person in your life, that's your children, your mother, your father, brother, sister, whoever you want, spouse, you know, you send it to them. And many times they say, oh, I didn't even know that you thought this about me. With my own mother, I wrote a letter to her a few years ago when I was writing this book, and it was a gratitude letter. I was fortunate enough to have a very good mother, and she was always there for me, single mother. And, you know, I wrote all this down, how much I loved her, appreciated her, and, you know, a little bit of forgiveness on my part. I wanted her. I felt badly I didn't visit her as often as I should, you know, that type of thing. And then we fast forward about a year and a half after that, my mother got very sick, and she actually passed away. But she was in hospice in her living room. She had the bed there, and I was visiting her, and I went in the other room in her bedroom, and I saw the letter that I had written to her a year and a half earlier, you know, the gratitude letter. She had it out. So this was the best gift on my part. I had everything I wanted to say to her right there. You know, I had all the words, everything I needed to say to her, and she was in a coma. But I sat there, and I read the letter to her, word for word, and I actually saw tears coming down from her face. She lifted her hands up to her eyes, and she heard what I was saying to her. So I was so thankful that I wrote those, you know, that letter, those words to her, Those were my last words to her before she passed. And I'm not telling people to wait until somebody dies and to read them a letter, but what I am saying, write their loved ones a letter right here, right now. Don't wait. You know, tell them how much you love them. They really will appreciate it. So that's the first type of letter, gratitude letter. Should I keep going?
You keep going. I love this. I read your book. And one thing I loved about your book, too, is you put some personal experience in there, how you experimented yourself with the technique.
Yes.
I thought that was fascinating, too. So go ahead. Keep going. You've talked about that.
I actually, the forgiveness letter, there's if you want to forgive someone else or if you want them to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
So what you'd like to do is, well, I had been going through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
At the time that I was writing this book, so I said this is a perfect time to write letters to my children and my soon-to-be ex-husband. So did I say it was easy? Nope, never. I never said it was easy, but I did do this because I realized the whole purpose was to see through the other person's point of view on how I had affected them. Okay, so when I wrote to the children, they always know how much I love them, you know, and but they never put it down on paper, the exact things that I loved about them, you know. So I wrote them each a letter of gratitude, and then I included the a forgiveness part in there as well, asking them to please, I never meant to hurt them, but I did hurt them nonetheless when I went through the divorce, you know, and I really am so sorry for that. I wish I could take it all back, but their father and me, nobody's wrong and nobody's right. We're just very different from each other. And that's what I tried to explain, you know, to them. Because could you imagine, then I started understanding, could you imagine being married to an airy-fairy person like myself? You know, that's when I said, oh, my gosh, you know, I never, you know, I just said, oh, okay. My ex-husband was a lawyer. Very logical.
Oh.
Right? So,
oh, my goodness.
Imagine someone like me who talks to people who've crossed over.
Yes.
So you can understand that. So,
yes,
so I wrote letters to each of my children. Yeah, that's what happened. There was nobody was wrong, nobody was right, but at the time everybody was pointing fingers, you did this, you did that. And you really look back and you say, no, it was just that we were totally different people. And I was thankful that I had my children and all of that. And, you know, when I wrote that down in the letters, I saw a shift with my children because when we first decided to get a divorce, I felt them backing away. They were angry. They were sad. It was a very tough time. And after I wrote the letters, everybody started, you know, getting a little bit closer to me, and now it's amazing. I have a great relationship with them again, thank God. But my daughter, the one who I think took it the most, after the letter, you know, she treated me differently. She was very nice. She always was very nice, but there was a difference. You could just feel it. But when my birthday came around, two months later, she said, Mom, I have a surprise for you. And I said, okay. And she said, would you like to go out to eat? And her and my other two children, they took me out to eat. When I came home, she took out a DVD that she had made with a picture. There was a picture on top of it with me and all my children on it. And I said, this is going to be something good. So
yes,
she took the DVD
out.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Yeah. She
I
took it
that.
Out, she put it in the DVD player, and the first person on that DVD was my mother. And she
Aww.
Said, oh, hi, sweetheart, I love you so much, and this is why. See? So she, and then she talked, then it was my mother, then it was my sister, my three children, my future daughter-in-law, and she even included my animals with little, you know, blurbs underneath it.
I love it.
What, you see, what my daughter did, she took the concept of what I had done with the letters, and she put it all together in a DVD with everyone that was close to me in my life. So I was just blown away. I was crying, and it was the most amazing thing. And I look at it from time to time because now my mother's on there, and she passed. She's since, you know, left the physical plane and all of that. So it was a great gift for everyone.
That's wonderful.
I'm talking too much. Am I talking too much?
No, you're fine. This is
good.
Not at all. I love that story because when I was reading it in the book about, you know, even the dogs or whatever, you know, I love animals. I have four cats, so it's like I would imagine.
Oh, me too. I have
that.
Three and two dogs. Yeah, I love animals too.
Yeah, me too. So I love that part. But, you know, your own children, you know, thinking of you that way, and that's something you can always like the letters, you know, that's a DVD that you can have always in treasure, you know. That's really cool. I love that. That is so cool.
Yeah.
No, you're not talking too
and
much.
You know,
I love that.
Even the letters that they keep looking at, they tell me, you know, they read it from time to time whenever they need a pickup or something like that. And my mother, see, she had that letter right by her bedside, right in her room. And you think you're really not making a difference, you know, just because what happens with a letter like that is you say things that you never would have told them before. And it's just sometimes it just blows their mind. And my son, my older son, I couldn't believe he remembered this about me. He said he remembers when he was 3 that I bought him every dinosaur book there was and every dinosaur toy. I couldn't believe he remembered that, you know? So he's 29 years old now, so I wouldn't have thought, you know, but things like that, if we didn't have this letter or him telling me this in the DVD, I wouldn't have realized that. So it's really a very healing experience. So that was the second type of letter.
Wow.
Actually, that was forgiving letter, but that was a mixture of the gratitude and the forgiving letter. And the forgiveness letter, it's either you want to forgive someone else or you want them to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
And you start off by saying how much you love and appreciate them. You make sure you do not attack them because the other person will only be responsive if they feel safe, you know, and they're not judged. And then you want to conclude the letter with a positive note. Decide whether or not you want to mail it, and then the rest is history. So,
yeah. How about if you have to write a forgiveness letter to somebody that you don't know why they're mad at you or angry at you or why they treated you that way? You know, that's something.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I have a sister. Yeah. I have a half-sister that I have no clue. I mean, we don't get along, and, you know, I have resentment because I don't know why she's mad at me. You know, it's like, am I the evil stepchild?
Yeah, right.
I am a half-sister, so, you know. It's like,
you know what you could do? Something like, oh, you know, dear, what's her name?
It's, I don't want to say it on the air. Cause
okay,
it's
dear sis, yes. I love you so much. I just wish we could feel closer to each other. I always, you know, I'm sitting here trying to figure out if I did anything and if I could do anything to help us to get closer to each other. I'm sorry in the past that I haven't done my part. See, here we have to say about our own part, take
right.
responsibility, because I had to do that with my children. I'm sorry I haven't done whatever I could do on my part. I would really like to get closer. Let's let the past be over, and let's try to make amends now, whatever, and build a positive relationship now. And you know what? If she doesn't respond, then at least you did the right thing. That's the best part. If you do something, you try, you've done the right thing, and you can let it go. Because then in your life review, you won't have any regrets.
Yeah.
But you're not doing it just for your life review. You're doing it for you. Right now.
And
you know?
Yeah, and that's what it is, really, letting go of the baggage now for all of us, I think, you know. And you don't want to go through a life review like with all the regrets. You really don't.
No.
It's not fun. I'm telling you, it's not fun.
No. And you know, it might be something so silly. No. It might be something so silly that feels insecure or any other person around you feel insecure when they're around you because I don't know. They don't understand you like my ex-husband and I myself. You know, we could try all we want to be at peace with each other, but when you have such totally different people, that relationship's not going to be the best because, you know, even though you're trying, you know, we won't be the best friends because we don't have things to talk about, you know, me and my ex and everything. Now he's with somebody similar to himself, and I'm with somebody similar to myself. And the same with you. You know, you can't take it personally as well. Even though I said before, try to accept the responsibility, but at the same time, it's not all on you either. You know,
exactly.
The other person
exactly. It really is. But
right.
I thought I'd bring, you know, because some of my clients will say too, I don't know what I did to this person. You know, and it's like that's a good idea. Write a letter to them if you're up to it. If you're feeling at this time in your journey that you can do that, because a lot of people are like, nah, just kind of let it go right now. They're not ready for that. You know. So.
Right.
And that's. Where we have, you know, so interesting. You know, and you talk about in the book, which I thought was interesting, you know, I've heard this before, about writing letters to deceased loved ones. How do we receive feedback from them? And, you know, do we really need to go to a psychic medium to get messages from them? Don't they convey messages to us? I mean, I tell my clients.
Yes. Oh, those are so many good questions, I'll tell you.
Yes.
We can write, we can all do it. It's not just about a medium doing this. We all are able to do it. Our loved ones are trying to give us signs and messages all the time. It's just whether or not we're receiving them or aware of what they're doing. So I would suggest to the listeners to write letters to their deceased loved ones, whether it be a gratitude letter, forgiveness letter, whatever it is, and tell them exactly what they need to say. It has to be a positive one, I would say. Sometimes people don't understand and then they attack, you know, they yell at somebody in a letter. That's not what we're talking about. This is a peaceful, loving letter. So if you're trying to forgive someone who's crossed over, you write, you know, what you did appreciate about them, even if it's something minor, and then, you know, say, I wish it would have been better, and try to see through their eyes how you affected them, and just write it all down in a letter. I have a great story with this one as well. I had a friend, her name is Marion, and she had passed. I wanted to write her or talk to her right before she passed. She was such a good friend and very funny, very sarcastic. But by the time I got to visit her in the hospital, her family was there saying goodbye to her, and I just couldn't be in the way. So I went home, and I started, after she passed, to write her a letter, the kind that we're talking about. And I just wrote, that was basically a gratitude letter. And I talked to her, and I just said how much I loved her and appreciated her. And I said at the end, and this is what I would tell the listeners to do, please give me a sign to let me know that you have received or you are aware of what I have just written to you. Okay, so make sure you do that. And then I would tell the listeners to be aware of what's going on around them, big things, you know, going on around. We could talk about that in a minute. So 2 days after I wrote the letter, forgot all about it, and I was walking down the stairs to my house, ready to put envelopes in my mailbox, and a bird comes flying out of nowhere and looked at me right in my eyes and just started screaming, squawking, whatever you want to call it, just loud. Oh, my gosh. I immediately knew it was Marion because she was loud. And, oh, if my neighbors were outside, they must have thought I was crazy, because as soon as the bird's screaming at me, following me, I said, oh, my God, Marion, I love you so much. I'm talking to this bird. It was walking to the mailbox, and it followed me, and it continued to scream. I had my cell phone in my pocket, and I called my son, who was in the house. I said, Tim, come outside. Marion's here. And he's just so used to me. He said, huh? I said, just come out here. I wanted him to witness what was going on. And he saw the whole thing, you know, Marion screamed. Well, it was a bird. What happens is our deceased loved ones are able to use their energy to come inside of an animal, a bird, a ladybug, a butterfly, you know, to let us know that they're around us. So she used the bird. And then 2 days later, I was, you know, I was checking my emails, and a mutual friend of ours, Marion's, our other friend, her name is Carol, she emails me. She said, what the heck is Marion doing? I opened the sliding glass door of my kitchen. A bird came flying in, pooped all over the walls, and then just left. I said, there she goes. She's doing it again. So I went off on a tangent just now, but what I'm saying is Marion let me know that she was aware that I had written this letter to her. So make sure to include that in the letter when you write to your deceased loved ones. Let it all out, how much you love them and appreciate them, and say, please let me know, you know, that you have received this message. And they'll come to us either in a dream, as an animal. They'll put coins or feathers in our path, stuff like that. You know, look for signs. Fragrances. Did you ever smell just, you know, their perfume, cigar smoke, things like that?
Yeah.
So let us know they're there.
Yeah, I have a client who lost her husband a number of years ago, and I was, you know, I suggested your book to her and stuff. She's, you know, and she said that after she asked him for a sign and she saw cardinals, and now she's got cardinals. Well, I said, that's him. She knows that's him.
Oh, I love that.
I love that, too, because it was so cool, because I just read your book, and she was like, I wish I knew, you know. I said, well, I read this great book, and, you know, the medium talks about, you know, animal, you know, birds and stuff, and so she looked for signs that week, and there's cardinals. You know, so she's like, I know that, because he loves cardinals.
And make sure the bird is a red one, that it stands out, you know?
Yes,
he does.
A lot
of times they do that. They make sure to stand out, you know, so you do notice that it's not just any bird. It's, you know, a red cardinal. That you know, maybe is the cardinal doing anything, or just she just knows that this is her
husband? The cardinal will just, she can go almost walk up to this one cardinal, she told me, and the cardinal, she goes, lady, and he just looked at her. He just looked at her. She goes, I knew it was him.
So, I love it.
I love it, too. I thought it was great, because like I said, there was different things in your book that kind of, I learned from everything, but that was really cool, because I was like, I've been working with her for a number of years, and she's moving on to another relationship, so, and she saw the Cardinals again this weekend, which is really cool, because I said, that's your sign, because this guy is going to be, I think, moving in with her soon, and I said, you know, that's your sign from your, you know, deceased spouse there, and she's like, yep, I know.
And you know what's great? The more she's aware of it, the more she's going to get the signs. That's what happens. If you just discard it and you don't pay attention, mm-hmm. they'll stop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you know, when I tell people this, then they think everything's a sign. So you have to just make sure, you know, that it is something different. Usually the signs come to you, like a cardinal wouldn't normally just sit there if you walk up to it. That's mm-hmm. not a typical experience, so you know it is a sign. Something
exactly.
that normally wouldn't happen, things like that.
Exactly, and that's what she said, too. She goes, cardinals are flighty, you know, this, and they just, he just looked right at me. I'm like, that is so cool. So, yeah,
uh-huh.
different signs. Just looking for those signs, I think, really help us. And they're all around us. We just got to ask for them and look for them, and that's true.
Absolutely. You know, things that, and usually when we're getting the signs, we know it's a
mm-hmm.
sign for the most part. We usually say, oh, could that have been? You know, this person, you know, the electricity is going off and on at the time of my birth or something, you know, a license plate cut me off and it was their name, things like that. Usually, you know, it's a sign, you know, it stands out, which is the best part. They like to give the same numbers over and over, like 1111, things like that.
Yeah, or there's a song on the radio you may have not heard years. I mean, that's been my experience. Like, songs I've not heard, you know, and I think of the person, and then that song comes on. My best friend passed away a number of years ago, and she, like, played that funky music, White Boy. Now, I never hear that song on the radio, but I was hearing it.
Yeah.
Because she used to make us go up
because
and...
It brings you right back to the place and time.
Yeah, because she would force, like, we used to go out, like, you know, and all four, you know, her mother, you know, whoever was with us, she'd make us dance to that song. She requested from the DJ and made sure all of us went on the dance floor. Even if it was the only dance of the night, she went on the dance floor. So,
I love that song, though, don't you? Oh, it's really, it's catching.
I know it is, but it's so funny because Tammy would put that
on. Wild Cherry? Isn't there two versions of that, Wild Cherry, and there was another... band with that. But in any case, yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, with the Wild Cherry version, it's the one she liked, you know, but Rod Stewart, Hot Lakes, you never hear that, you know, and then I would think of her and Hot Lakes comes on. Yeah, so they do that with the radio, too. It's amazing. You'll get this song or something that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, can you give some other examples of how writing these letters has helped you out?
Yeah. The next type of letter that I talk about in the book is the letter to yourself. And I think this would have been the one that you would have needed if you didn't have a real life review. You
mm-hmm.
know, sit down and write a letter to yourself on how you have affected yourself. So this really helped me because I always put everybody else first. I always did that, you know, and I was mm-hmm. a doormat as well. And I always want to help people. I always want to do the right thing. But by doing so, I don't do the right thing for myself. So it was, I think, the hardest letter to write because I wasn't aware I did that to the extent that I did that. And I had to write a gratitude part of it, you know, how much I loved and appreciated myself. That was difficult as well. Never, if I saw some qualities that I have in myself in other people, I would say, oh, wow, that's great that they do this and this and this. But if I did it, I didn't think it was such a big deal. So what I would suggest to people is to sit down, write a letter to themselves, and say, what qualities do they love about themselves? And really sit there and think about it. Because we all have great qualities, you know, and we don't focus on that. And then as forgiveness part of the letter to ourselves, you would write how you could do it differently. So I promised myself in the letter that I wrote that I promised to give your What you're doing is you're writing a letter saying your first name. So I wrote Karen, I promise, and then I wrote what I promised to do, you know, to spend more time doing the things you love to do and things like that. So that was the most, I think that was the most therapeutic for me, because I have to pull that letter out time and time again. I forget what I wrote, and I keep saying, okay, yes, I'm just as important as everyone else. I'm not lower on the totem pole. That's what you probably felt, too. You said you were a doormat. Mm-hmm. And I think if they can only write one letter, it would be the one to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to do, and forgiving yourself, too, I think. You know, like, you, if you, you know, if you're trying to forgive other people, we don't put ourselves at the top of the list either. You know, maybe we have forgiven our, you know, forgiven ourselves for things that we need to do, to, you know, that we've done to ourselves. And because we've done it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And forgiving ourselves, I think, is very important. You know, how has it helped some of your clients? Can you give some, can you share some examples?
Oh, there's so many examples. There's the one woman, Donna, she's in the book as well. She had wrote a letter of forgiveness to her mom, and she's been went to years of therapy. She tried every single form of, you know, any classes, meditations, and everything. She just couldn't do it. She just couldn't forgive her mother. And she actually, she told me as a child, you know, her mother abused her mentally, emotionally, physically, and all of that. And she used to pray when she was younger to die. And she didn't want to deal with this anymore. It was really bad. So we went through the letters, and I said, okay, I'm not saying what your mother did was right, but let's try to figure out why she did what she did, because maybe you can't figure out as a child what you did to deserve that. We never deserve that. So let's try to figure out, you know, why she did what she did. And she said, okay, well, she was the youngest of, I believe it was 8 children, never, oh, the oldest, oh boy, I'm messing this up. But in any case, she was in a large family and never received love herself, you know. And so she never knew what it was like. So this is the only thing she could do. And she, you know, she tried to understand her mother better. To make a long story short, she said finally she was able to forgive her mom. And that was the most incredible part. She just couldn't believe it. And we did a lot of tapping. Do you know what tapping is? The
emotional freedom technique, the tapping. Or...
Yes, that was so therapeutic, too. I would highly recommend people to learn tapping. What it is, it's tapping on acupuncture points. What happens is when we have negative emotions, any negative emotions, well, whether it be fear, grieving, anger, anything else, jealousy, the energy is stored in different parts of our body. So it remains there until we acknowledge it and then tap it out. You literally take two fingers of your hand and you tap on these acupuncture points as you're experiencing the emotion. So as she was experiencing the things that her mother did, we would tap on these acupuncture points and it enabled the energy to flow. So that actually helped as well. But she's like a new person now. People say she's just so different than when they first met her, because we have classes here and she comes to all the classes. And it's just so wonderful to see the big change in her.
That's great. Yes. I love when I work with a client and they've gone through some trauma or something and, you know, you've been working with them. I do energy work, so it's great to see them kind of get past that. It's really cool.
Yeah,
satisfying. I think so. You
Absolutely.
Know, it's, like you said, it's very satisfying. It really is.
Yeah.
There's so many techniques available to us today. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Do you do the Reiki as well?
Yes, I do Reiki. I do integrated energy therapy, which is channeling the angels. So I like
Getting
better. Yeah, so I love that. And I do my own form of long-distance healing. So it's really cool. And then people, like you said, you know, they, you know, come to us and maybe they need some closure on something. You know, maybe someone crossed over. And, it's wonderful to help people. I love doing that. You know,
absolutely.
You know, what are some other things we can do after we write these letters to our loved ones? What else can we do to maintain, you know, how can we attain the peace or maintain that peacefulness that maybe we've made amends in our letters, to, in our relationships, so after we write these letters and make amends?
Okay, well, we want to make sure throughout our lives, after we write the letters, to maintain that peace. We want to become aware of everyone you encounter, try to see through their point of view. You know, tell them how you feel, if you just meet somebody on the street and they're very nice, say, oh, I just want to tell you, you're a really good person. You know, just come out and say something like that. You'll make their day. You know, things like that. Really listen to others. Return calls and emails. You may think that's a minor thing, but some people don't return calls or emails, and then the other person feels insignificant. I hear this a lot. That's why I'm mentioning that one. Offer your time. Extend your kindness, you know, to people who even serve you. If you're in a restaurant, be kind to the waitress. You know, they're tired. They've been there probably many hours and not getting paid well. So to be kind, if you can afford a larger tip, to do so. Just be there for the other people. And the most important thing is to be there for yourself as well. Don't put yourself lower than anyone else, as we were talking about before, because we're just as important as everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree with that. You know, I always, if I'm in a restaurant, because I used to waitress years back, and I can see, you know, someone's had a bad day, and I'm like, how you doing today? Is everything going okay? Yeah, I'm okay. I said, your day's going to get better. Don't worry. You know, I'll say something like that, because sometimes it is difficult, especially in the customer service end of it.
Oh, they take people's stuff all the time. Have you ever been online and the cashier is getting yelled at or by someone? It's not the cashier's fault that they don't have enough blouses on, you know, the sale rack or whatever it is, you know. And it's, you know, just we have to be more understanding of each person, because in reality we're all one anyway, and that's another thing we understand better after we leave the body. You see that we're all one, you know, and so you're actually yelling at yourself when you're getting mad at somebody. It doesn't make any sense. People don't understand this concept unless you really meditate or, you know, quiet yourself, things like that, because you could say we're all one, but they don't understand that at all. No, you're over there, I'm over here, but we really are all one. It's hard to explain.
And we are, Yeah, we really, if you do a lot of, you know, working on yourself too, like if you do a lot of, you know, energy work and stuff like that, you just, I don't know if it's you or, you know, it's me, but I feel like karma has been speeding up. I don't know what it is, but I'm like so conscious if I'm like having a bad day and, you know, I don't want to yell at somebody or, you know, it's like you just notice the ripple effect faster because we are all one. I think just the shifts we're going on right now, that's just my opinion. I don't know, just think.
Yes, but yeah, I feel it's very quick too, isn't it? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's like, you know, coming in real quickly. I'm like, whoa, you know.
I know.
Got to watch myself with that.
You know, you get to a point. I'm so aware of all of this. So if something bad happens in my life, I'll say, oh my gosh, what did I do to create that? You know, and then I've had pipes burst in my bathroom here at the office, and then, oh, what did I do? And then I say, yeah, I really didn't want to be here today. So that happened. You know, other people might think I'm totally crazy, but I'm aware. You know, our thoughts create no matter what. And they could create by default, not only on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, or like if I don't feel like working that day, my phone line might go off, and I'm like, oh, okay. And the guy had to come out.
See?
You know.
Exactly.
Yes, yep. It does happen.
Yeah, and the universe works in ways to help us.
Oh, yes. It doesn't conspire against us. It conspires with us. It creates with us.
Exactly.
How do we forgive our living and deceased loved ones when it is so hard to do so? I mean, how can we even forgive ourselves? I mean, I think that's the hardest part, like we said, forgiving ourselves.
Yes. It's very difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, but if you do it with the intention of helping yourself, you know, sit down and say, okay, I don't want to carry this around with me anymore. And you sit down and you just try to see the other person's point of view, how you have affected them. I highly recommend what we were talking about before, the tapping, because sometimes you just cannot see the other person's point of view, and the tapping is like a miracle cure. It's amazing. I just can tell you this one little story, how much it has helped me. When my own mom passed, as I stated before, when she was sick and I had to go back and forth to visit her and throughout that, and then after her passing, you know, it was very traumatic for me, and I did the tapping, and it worked tremendously. But I have people coming to see me, and I have a 2-year waiting list, and I had a person on their way to see me from, they came 2 hours away. On their way, and as they were coming, I had a phone call from my mother's doctor saying my mother only had 2 weeks to live. Here I am. Everything's about, you know, being in a good place, meditating so that I could connect with the other person's loved ones. And how can I possibly? I just found out my mother was going to die. So I sat there and I did tapping, 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 tapping. By the time the woman got here that day, I was fine. And I know there's nothing else that could have gotten me to that place other than tapping. I could have tried. I could have, you know, whatever it is. But nothing worked other than the tapping. So I highly recommend that. You know, there's great books out there. The EFT workbook by, oh, geez, Gary Craig. You know, there's good books out there to teach you how to do it. But it's a wonderful technique. And if you can't forgive the other person through a letter or trying to see through the other person's point of view, what I would say is do the tapping. Because that might work. It worked on me, too, with some people that I just couldn't forgive. And then you'll see they won't bother you anymore. It won't affect you. The negative energy will be gone.
Yeah, and that's where you want to. I think Jack Canfield, he does Chicken Soup for the Soul, does something with the tapping. I can't remember exactly. He's a co-author, I think.
Yes. He actually has a new book out with Hay House about tapping. I can't remember the name. Maybe Tapping Solution? Or maybe I'm getting that wrong. But it's a good one, too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Tapping into ultimate success, how to overcome any obstacle and skyrocket your results. Jack Canfield and Pamela Bruner. Yeah, I got Amazon up real fast because I remember seeing that.
Yeah. No, he's amazing, too, his whole story.
Yes, he is. He's a great guy. Yes, I saw him on, first encountered him on The Secret, the DVD, the movie The Secret. So then, saw him in different ones. And You Can Heal Your Life and with Louise Hay and The Shift, Molly Wayne Hay. I love all those. Yeah, I got my fiancé
into
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Good stuff, life changing.
Yeah, you got some, Yeah, you got some great stuff out there. People have got to look into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, let's see. In your book, you also share some stories of your favorite readings that will help your listeners to know that there's truly life after death. Can you share one of them with us?
Yeah, I have some fun ones back there. I actually had to put them in the appendix because it really had nothing to do with, you know, life reviews, but I said I know would help people to understand more about life after death. So one of them, this was a good one, Christy. This was a client who I never met her before. She came to see me, and as she's, you know, she's sitting there with her husband, I see four babies in spirit, and I didn't understand, you know, what was going on there. And I said, I don't understand, but there's four babies coming through at the same time, and she said she had lost quadruplets. This is not the good part of the story, though. It's coming up in a few minutes. But to make a long story short, her grandparents came through, and with their names, Tom and Teresa, and they were saying that they were taking care of the children. And, you know, Christy was so comforted by that. She'd been going to therapy many years, and that helped to understand her children really were okay. Now, let's fast forward a year later. She tried to get pregnant, couldn't get pregnant. And didn't get pregnant again. But I was sitting there meditating one day, and I felt her grandmother, Teresa, come through, and she told me, I heard a loud voice, Christy's pregnant. I said, oh, that's so great. Oh, my gosh. So I called Christy, and I said, Christy, oh, congratulations. Your grandmother just came through. She said you're pregnant. She said, I am. I think so, because, then I felt like an idiot. And I said, well, could you find out if you are? And she goes, okay, I'll do that. And then I went to lunch, and a car cut me off. And that's what we were talking about before, about signs. And on the license plate, it said two quads. So I took that to mean two of the quads were going to come back to her, you know, reincarnate and come back. And to make a long story short, Christy was indeed in the family way. And she has since given birth to twins who are very healthy. And it was all just, you know, told right before she even knew about it. So that's just true confirmation that her loved ones were there telling her what's going on.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, I remember that story. I love that. That is so cool. It's funny. Are you pregnant? Am I? You know?
She didn't know.
I love,
she thought, I thought I was crazy. You know, so I said, oh, no, what did I do? But she was.
Oh, I love those. I love when you get good news, you know, from spirit for your client or something. And like, a, you know, you're going to have a, and they're like, yeah, I am. It's not happening yet. But I'm like, yeah, I love that. I love that.
Oh, my gosh.
That is great. I actually read the appendix before I read all the whole book.
That's my favorite part of the whole thing. Yeah, I'm glad you did that.
I don't know why. Spirit's like, I go through a book and I'll like read. I'll be like, oh, okay, I'll read that first. You know, whatever strikes my fancy. Uh-huh. Sometimes I'll read a book in order, and then went to the appendix. I was like, okay. So I read the stories in an hour. It was great. My fiance's like, what are you doing? Reading. You know I love to read. You know I love this stuff. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. That's me. So
it was yeah, it's really my favorite part of the book. It's a really quick story. Is that time
sure.
or no?
Oh no, we have 5 minutes. No, we don't.
Oh, okay. The one story that another one of my favorite stories there was Teresa's story. She had tried to get an appointment but couldn't, you know, because I was booked. So I said, why don't you come to a class? And then during a class, her father comes through. And, you know, make a long story short, he says his name and all of that. But then she said, can I ask him a question? And then once you hear that, you must get this all the time. And he's like, if he's going to answer it, but you could try. You know, I don't know. And she said, can you ask him where the hidden money is? And so I asked him, and with that, he showed me the attic. And he showed me the pink insulation in the right-hand side of the attic, and he just keeps moving it, just keeps moving it. And I told her about that, and she said, well, I don't know. I looked all over the house, but I will see. Make a long story short, she calls me after the class. She's all excited. She said she found a substantial amount of money where her father had told her to look. So that's also confirmation, not only that her father is okay, you know, and it's also a great thing that she received what her father wanted her to have, the money that he hid in the house. So that was a good one, too.
I like that. That's really cool, you know.
Yeah.
Grandma, do you got any money? Well, no, I'm just kidding. No, she doesn't. We just sold her house, so that's why I'm asking. So.
Oh.
She was
you sold funny. The house?
Well, we actually, my parents, she died about in 99. And my mother inherited the house, and it's four apartments. And I had gotten I did get a message because they tried to sell it a couple times before, and the deals fell through. And they said something about a guy would just come up to my mother's door. Well, in September, that's what happened.
Hmm.
This guy looked up her tax records, went up to her door, and she thought, this was crazy. She's like, what? He goes, I want to buy your house. And she's like,
oh my god.
Oh, okay. And he did. They closed down the house
and
last month. And she's all happy because my father's been ill, and they're happy because, you know, he can't take care of a big house like that. You know, it was just...
That's wonderful. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I remember her saying, when am I going to sell this house? And I'm like, Mom, somebody's probably going to... I was joking around. Someone's going to come up to your door one day and just, you know, and it happened. And she just said, yeah, you did.
And it literally happened. Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yes,
so
I was just joking with it, though. Sometimes I'll say things in the humor, and actually they come true. You know, Amy, you told me this. You were joking around, but it really did happen. I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway.
Do you know why that is? I think sometimes you get messages when you don't even try. It just happens. You just say something. I can't explain. You know, just the messages come as thoughts.
Yes. Well, we got to wrap it up. I got a little, how can we find out more about your new book and your healing center? We got, like, less than
You could go to my website at www.karennoe.com. That's KarenNoe.com. Or you could go to hayhouse.com as well, and they have a little biography on me as well.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Karen, this was a pleasure. I'm sorry we could talk all day about this stuff. Maybe we'll have you on again. When your new book comes on, I'd love to have you on again.
Wonderful. And I'll talk to you as well. Do you have an email? I'm asking.
Yes,
are you on your website?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
You got it. Yep, you got it.
Thank you.
Well, everyone have a great Christmas holiday. I will talk to you next year. We've got reruns coming on. So it was great having you, Karen. Thank you so much. And God bless, everyone. Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.